Hey, welcome to the show. I'm thrilled to have the author of Wonder Women, Sam Maggs. Hey, Sam.
Hi, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. It's so fun. I got turned on by a friend of mine to your book. So it's written by you and it's illustrated by Sophia Foster
Domino. Yeah, who's an amazing illustrator. She's done work for The New Yorker, and she really brings the book to life. She's illustrated every gal that I talk about in the book. So I feel very fortunate.
Wonder Women, 25 innovators, inventors, and trailblazers who change history. In this book, can you even pick a favorite?
Oh, it's like picking out of my children. It's so hard. That was actually the amazing thing about researching this book is that, you know, I feel like you know about we've all heard of like the couple of women who did science. Like we all know about Marie Curie, and we maybe know about Rosalind Franklin and Ada Lovelace. But that's kind of all that we ever hear about. And so as I started to look into more women who had awesome accomplishments in science and math and engineering and espionage and all these fields, I was just blown away by how many women there were who did amazing things, who have been left out of our history textbooks, or whose accomplishments were stolen by a male colleague, or who weren't able to claim credit for their inventions because of their race and their gender. So it was actually really difficult narrowing it down to 25. But we found lots of cool ladies, lots of really interesting women of color and queer women through history, too. I think a couple of my favorites are Anandi Joshi, who was the first Indian Hindu woman to come to America to get a Western medical degree. And she was able to do so because she became pen pals with a widow in New Jersey. And the two of them became like best friends in the 19th century from across an ocean. And then she was able to come be a doctor, which is super cool. And I also really love Dr. Marie Ecke, who was a reproductive rights activist in the late 1800s and a lesbian. And she used to defend her girlfriend's honor with a horse whip.
Really?
Chase people down the street on the frontier. Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna slow you down. What country was she in?
Oregon.
Wait, in Oregon?
Yeah.
You mean just south of Washington State?
Absolutely, in the late 1800s, yeah.
Late 1800s, so 1890s.
Yeah.
But how did she get by in the world being out?
Well, it was extremely difficult. And the funny thing is that a lot of the newspaper articles about her and her girlfriend, they're very oblique about it. They're like, oh, they're best buds who live together and also are never apart and kiss each other.
Really?
Yeah. So it was a lot of like denial and self-denial at the time. Yeah. But she, in her own writings, was very open about her sexuality. So we're able to sort of deduce the truth from that.
Wow. That is unbelievable. I can't believe you found her. Tell me more about this research that you would find a woman that no one has ever heard of in the late 1800s in Oregon, and there was like nothing happening out here.
I mean, that's pretty fair. Yeah, the research was great. I actually have a master's degree in a very particular subset of Victorian women's fiction. Mm-hmm. So I've always been really interested in sort of digging up old stories from old newspapers and old books that have kind of been lost to time. So I would, you know, I started kind of on the internet, as all these things do, and I came to really quickly realize that most of the information on Wikipedia is incorrect. A great jumping off point, but definitely don't trust it.
Wow. Do you go straight down to the bibliography?
From there, I actually spent a lot of time in old newspapers, because a really cool thing is that through a website called Chronicling America, most of the 19th century newspapers from throughout America are digitized online now, and you can search them by keyword. So if you know sort of what dates and what people you're looking for, you can find some really interesting information. And so that's how I found a couple of these articles from the Dales Times Mountaineer about Marie chasing a man down the street with a horse whip.
Wow, I just can't believe it. I think it's incredible that you could find it, but also incredible that people would take the time to digitize those old newspapers. I love it that they respect history so much to do this.
And there are so many old books, too, on archive.org that are available. Like the original biography of this Anandi Joshi was written by a woman in the late 1800s. And that's available scanned in its entirety online as well. So all these books that have sort of passed out of copyright are all digitized and available online, which is also great because then you never have to worry about people destroying the originals with their oily fingers because they're all able to sort of read them on the internet. So it's great in a couple of ways.
Oh, that's so great. So there's another woman who fought the Nazis. They called her number one enemy or something like that, and she was Muslim.
Yeah, her name was Noor Inayat Khan, and she was an Indian woman whose father was a Sufi Muslim, like a pacifist, and she was sort of against the English having conquered India as well. But when she saw what the Nazis were doing, she realized that despite not really liking Britain and despite being a pacifist, she couldn't stand by and let this happen. So she moved to England and she started to work with the secret, like with MI5, on being a wire transmitter. So she was dropped into the middle of France and would send back coded messages from the front lines as she was undercover about what was going on, and would sort of feedback messages to the Allies. And eventually she ended up being the last wire transmitter in France on the run. She was like the Nazis' number one most wanted, but was incredibly successful and helped save so many lives, and all with this sort of coding system. And it was, yeah, she was amazing.
She's amazing. I don't get half of what you said about
I feel you
about being a wire transmitter, but undercover as what and spying on who?
She was just sort of undercover as like a regular person in France, okay. Like a regular lady, and then would, you know, set up next door to like Nazis that were having meetings and would transmit her information back.
Because France was occupied.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the Nazis. Okay, so super scary.
Yeah, there was another woman in World War II as well named Elvira Chaudoir, who was a Peruvian heiress who was living in France at this time as well. And basically, she was like the Paris Hilton of her time. All she basically did was like run around, party girl, gambled all the time, was terrible at gambling. And so MI5 approached her and was like, you should be a double agent. Wait until the Germans approach you. And then say that you'll be a spy for them, but actually you're going to be a spy for us and feed them bad information. And because everybody just thought she was like a dumb party girl, nobody thought that she was actually this super intelligent, like, double agent who essentially helped make D-Day successful. Which is so cool because there are all types of smart women, you know, just you don't have to be a doctor or, you know, like to sit around reading books all day, which I'm like, but lots of people aren't, you know, you could enjoy being an extrovert too and still be really intelligent and use your wits and your brain. So that's pretty neat.
Just sounds like a lot of courage.
Yeah, oh gosh. Seriously, yeah. For all of these women too, I mean, we're talking about a time when women couldn't go to school, couldn't own property, you know, like all of these barriers to entry, weren't allowed into universities, and yet they were still able to accomplish all of these great things. And it's so wild, their perseverance and their drive and their dedication to be great. It's really impressive and very inspiring, I thought.
It is. I've got Sam Maggs on the phone, the author of Wonder Women, and it's illustrated, too, by
Sophia Foster Domino.
Hey, before I let you go, hit me with another one.
One more? Oh, my goodness. I think it would have to be Alice Ball, who was the first Black woman to ever get a master's degree at the University of Hawaii. She got her master's degree in chemistry and discovered the cure for leprosy. And then her boss took all the credit and everyone forgot about her for 100 years until people started to dig up records and realize that actually she was the one who had made this incredible discovery when she was just 22. So now we're starting to remember her, and I think that's really cool.
Oh, it's breaking my heart. I've lived out in Hawaii very many times in my life as a kid and as an adult, and how recently are they saying Alice Ball saved us?
Oh, well, she developed the original cure for leprosy in the early, around 1914.
Right, but how recently has it come to light that she was the one?
Oh, my goodness, in the last 5 years.
That's why!
Yeah, it's wild. It's absolutely wild. So this is why it's really important to continue to sort of dig up this information, and I really wanted Wonder Women to be sort of a launching point for people to read this book, find all these interesting women, and then be able to go out into the world and look for more stories or more information and sort of, you know, start down this cool path. And I hope I'm able to do that.
Oh, I hope so, too. This needs to be in the schools.
For sure. For sure. Absolutely.
Sam, Mags, you've done a wonderful thing with Wonder Women. Find out, everybody, about all 25 of these women by getting the book Wonder Women, 25 innovators, inventors, trailblazers who changed history by my guest, Sam Mags.
Thanks, Lee.
Okay, take good care.
Bye now.
Bye.